This is episode 95 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, An Occasion for Just War, a review of Andor by Cole Burgett. This article was first published on December 13, 2022 for the Christian Research Journal as an online exclusive in volume 45, number 3 and 4. You can read the full article as well as its documentation for free at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. An Occasion for Just War, a review of Andor by Cole Burgett. This is part of the Cultural Apologetics column. Andor was created by Tony Gilroy. It is streaming on Disney Plus, rated TV-14. And editors note, this article contains spoils for Andor Season 1. Since The Mandalorian came blasting onto screens in 2019, just in time for the controversial sequel trilogy to draw to a close, Star Wars has been trying to find its footing in a post-Skywalker era, and the results have been fair to middling at best. The Mandalorian sacrificed originality for claptrap fan service during its second season. The Book of Boba Fett, 2021 through 2022, was a surprisingly tedious slog that had more interesting concept art than anything conjured on screen, and the cumbersome, overstuffed Obi-Wan Kenobi in 2022 is a series that was clearly brilliant upon inception, but was so badly mangled after being filtered through the hands of too many creatives that somebody could almost be sued for professional negligence and malpractice. Thankfully, it turns out that Obi-Wan Kenobi was not the only hope for anybody still waiting for someone to write a Star Wars story that is actually good. Under the guidance of Academy Award nominator, writer, and director Tony Gilroy, Lucasfilm has finally delivered its Star Wars showstopper with Andor, 2022 was Season 1, pulling in a cadre of writers whose credits include acclaimed espionage and political thrillers like The Americans, Stephen Schiff, 2013 to 2018, and House of Cards, Beau Willman, 2013 through 2018. Gilroy and company have dreamed up a stellar and fiercely intelligent outing that has whipped that galaxy far, far away into the best shape it has been in since the 80s. The Anti-Star Wars Show. With his stunning 2007 legal thriller Michael Clayton, Tony Gilroy quite possibly created Hollywood's last film for adults. Within 2 years, Marvel Mania would take over the zeitgeist and the juvenilizing of mainstream cinema would be complete. Considering that George Lucas has always maintained that Star Wars is ultimately meant for children, selecting Gilroy to helm a series set in Lucas's fictional universe might at first seem like an odd decision. But Gilroy's history with the property stretches back to 2016's Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, the film that first began inching mainstream Star Wars out from under the burden of established characters, and for what it's worth, the one Star Wars film that Lucas himself supposedly enjoyed more than the sequels. The titular character of Cassian Andor, Diego Luna, first appeared in Rogue One, for which Gilroy received a screenplay credit. So it is, in a way, fitting that he returns for a prequel telling the backstory of one of that film's lead characters. But with the freedom to craft a more nuanced story beyond the confines of a 120-minute runtime, Andor deepens and muddies further the waters of complex, morally ambiguous storytelling first explored in Rogue One. In many ways, Andor is anti-Star Wars, and not in the same sense that many seem to think Rian Johnson's 2017 sequel, The Last Jedi, is anti-Star Wars. That film is subversive, sure, but Andor by comparison seems downright heretical. Gone is the clear sense of good and evil that defines the moral compass of the films. Gone are even passing references to the Jedi or the Sith. Forget the will of the Force. Consider the willpower of the average, everyday folks just trying to make it through life under the oppressive thumb of a lazy and bureaucratic galactic empire. Even Johnson's incessant moralizing about the treatment of space horses and winning wars by, quote, not destroying what we hate, end quote, but, quote, saving what we love, end quote, seems trite, reductionist, and hopelessly preachy by comparison. Rose Tico, Kelly Marie Tran, might have become an important figure in the resistance. Her attitude would have seen her laughed out of the Rebel Alliance depicted in Andor. Fighting the Star War. The moral ambiguity of war has become a focal point for Gilroy's Star Wars stories. When Imperial defector Galen Erso, Mads Mikkelsen, is unceremoniously killed in Rogue One, his enraged daughter tells Cassian, quote, those were Alliance bombs that killed him, end quote. Andor seeks to explore those ambiguities further, especially through the fascinating character of Luthien Rael, Stellan Skarsgård, a shadowy spymaster within the Rebel Alliance who fronts as an oddball antique dealer. His recruitment of Cassian, as well as his dealings with other rebels such as Mon Mothma, Genevieve O'Reilly, and Saw Gerrera, Forrest Whitaker, form much of the drama of the series and provide context for exploring the moral mess that is the world of espionage. At one point, Luthien tells one of his assets, quote, what is my sacrifice? I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to defeat them. I burn my decency for someone else's future. I burn my life to make a sunrise I know I'll never see, end quote. In other words, he is willing to fight fire with fire, all while acknowledging his own moral failures, but justifying them as being necessary to get the rebellion off the ground. When it comes to showing the cost of revolution, Andor succeeds in spades by creating aware and reflective characters who are troubled by the decisions they have made. Imagine, by way of example, if The Empire Strikes Back, 1980, had dealt with the moral ramifications of Luke Skywalker killing nearly 2 million people when he blew up the Death Star, and how that weighs upon his conscience. In Andor, no one gets out cleanly. These sorts of complexities are certainly new to Star Wars, which has traditionally been bent more toward a black and white, i.e., light side versus dark side morality scale. But Andor wrinkles this, suggesting instead that the true rebels are the ones who are willing to get their hands dirty. Mon Mothma might lead the Rebel Alliance dressed in pressed robes of immaculate white, yet her conscience is anything but clean when she sacrifices her family on the altar of rebellion. When Luke and Han receive their medals at the end of A New Hope, 1977, they stand upon the shoulders and graves of characters like Luthien and Cassian, who sacrifice personal virtue for victory over the imperial machine. A just war. In the fields of theology and military ethics, the so-called just war theory has been a focal point of study for millennia. The 4th century church father Augustine is remembered for his work in the early development of the doctrine, and the medieval heirs Thomas Aquinas build off of Augustine's foundation to expand the doctrine further, accounting for changes in the geopolitical landscape as well as technology. Essentially, these writers and others sought to develop a tradition of thinking that, quote, arose from a desire to have the Christian faith influence the terrible necessity of warfare, end quote. In the modern era of globalization and geopolitics, the notion of a Christian tradition dedicated to navigating these murky waters might seem strange or even antithetical to many of the values Christians seem to uphold. But the development of this tradition should not be divorced from its historical contexts, wherein, at different points, Christianity was the dominant religion of nation-states, as well as the motivation of many soldiers to march to war in the first place, i.e. the Crusades. The doctrine is certainly not the most well-rounded or even best known, and has not been without criticism, sometimes for being too loose and flexible, that just about any motivation can be used to justify a war, and other times for being too narrow in scope, as it was developed primarily for war between nation states. Yet the number of policymakers and ethicists who continue to turn to and study such a tradition when trying to determine the moral parameters for justified warfare is a testament to the doctrine's importance. And in an age where the face of war changes as rapidly as the technology used to wage it, the just war doctrine remains one of the pivotal areas of thought in which Christianity's strong moral center and ethical vision is valued. Due to its exploration of the morality of warfare, Andor presents a unique opportunity for the Christian apologist or military ethicist looking to interact with a pop culture artifact. The just war tradition is particularly applicable to the discussion, helping to frame the motivations and actions of characters on both sides of the conflict. War is all too frequently dehumanizing, and few things rob a human being of their own humanity more than taking another's life, regardless of whether the act is state-sanctioned. Otherwise, firing squads would never have to retain unloaded or blank weapons to mitigate the psychological and emotional trauma to the trigger pullers. Andor being interested in these traumas gives viewers uncommonly complex, multidimensional characters as civil war looms. Imperials are no longer white-clad stormtroopers, inhuman and impersonable. Cyril Khan, Kyle Soler, is a competent deputy inspector whose skills are hamstrung by maddeningly incompetent bureaucracy, while his desire for order and sense of justice makes him empathetic to the Empire, and most importantly, his face is not obscured behind a mask. Conversely, Luthen's cool, matter-of-fact threats to an Imperial asset are shockingly cold and inhumane, considering that he's one of the good guys in the fledgling Rebel Alliance. His masks are plenty, but not literal, a part of his chameleon personality that morphs into something different with every individual he meets. While it is true that Luthen comes to Cassian's aid, he does so not because Cassian needs help, but because he wants to condition him into a working asset for the rebellion. On the flip side, Cyril is hunting Cassian out of his sense of duty and fairness after Cassian ruthlessly guns down a Pre-Ex Morlana authority officer. In the context of Andor, the just war tradition gives Christians a grid through which to both empathize with characters we might traditionally pass off as, quote, bad guys, end quote, without so much a second thought, while reevaluating the moral culpability of the, quote, good guys, end quote. There are characters ruled by fear and anger, literally laying the groundwork of what will become the Rebel Alliance, just as there are characters driven by a profound sense of right and wrong to make the Empire more efficient in establishing a sense of order in the galaxy. Is the rebellion worth saving if it means losing one's humanity in the process? Is the Empire made up of nothing but cruel, poorly trained soldiers who are terribly inept at shooting? Until Andor, the answer to either of those questions would have likely been yes. But now? Well, Star Wars has finally grown up. This does not detract from its mythic status or its place as a pop culture juggernaut. But the civil war between the Rebellion and the Empire brewing in Andor is not the Star War that was fought under Lucas, in which Luke Skywalker killed nearly 2 million faceless Imperials when he blew up the Death Star and was given a medal for it. Cassian Andor looks into the eyes of the people he murders out of fear and desperation. Luthen Rael lies, cheats, and steals in the name of insurrection. Mon Mothma sacrifices her family in hopes of bringing the galaxy out from under the thumb of tyranny. Andor represents the property's first confident steps out from under the shadow of George Lucas. Star Wars is something different now, the galaxy a more complicated place. But, true to form, the property has given Christians yet another artifact to interact with in the public sphere, and this is an opportunity not to be wasted. Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's equip.org. Thank you.